What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your start of your week is going amazing. We're going to be going over some players who really hurt and helped themselves this preseason. We're also going to be breaking down a brand new offensive lineman for the Packers. So I appreciate you guys being here today. We're going to get to all of that in just a moment. Before we get there, wanted to tell you about something fun we got for Pack-A-Day members. We're going to be doing a Pick'em League again. This is going to be a spread-based Pick'em League this year. I've never done that before, so I'm really excited to do it. All you have to do is become a Pack-A-Day member to participate. The link is out over on the YouTube page for the members-only content. It's out there on posts, and if you are a member, you're going to be able to see it and get that password to go out and connect on it, and there is going to be a pretty epic prize for the winner as well. So check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Join us all season long and participate in that Pick'em League, and it's going to be a ton of fun. And again, just the competition amongst Packer fans, but also a huge prize for the winner as well. So go check that out. Again, Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Also, just if you're wondering, my schedule this week for the live shows, Ross is going to be doing a live 53-man breakdown as soon as that roster is finalized by the Packers. So keep an eye out for that on Tuesday. I will have a members Q&A on 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, and then a happy hour noon on Friday. So things to look forward to this week as well. Also want to give a huge shout out to Luigi's Frozen Pizzas for sponsoring today's show. What I want to mention is one of my favorite things about the entire Luigi's sponsorship and just partnership so far has been every single time now we're in live chats, or even when I open up Twitter in any given day, somebody is tweeting at me a picture of a Luigi's pizza that they made. Somebody's commenting in the YouTube live chats of how they finally got their hands on a Luigi's frozen pizza and how delicious it is. Like, every single person to a T, every single one has been like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is amazing. I love this. Thank you so much. It has been really cool to see that everyone else is enjoying their experience when they've had the opportunity to go out and try it. So if you haven't done it yet, what the heck are you waiting for? Go check it out. Luigi'sPizza.com. And of course, follow them on social media as well at Luigi's Pizza. Get yourself some pizzas for the victory pizzas this upcoming year. Packers on Sunday traded for a brand new offensive lineman. This is somebody that, not this player specifically, but this is a move that many amongst the Packers 53-man prognosticators have predicted that there was probably an offensive lineman out there that was not currently on the Green Bay Packers that would become a member of the Green Bay Packers. Here's the truth of the matter. Green Bay had 7 offensive linemen. All right, that's it. Jacob Monk maybe could have been that 8th, but he's a beat up right now as well. We don't know how long he's going to be out. In addition, Travis Glover probably could have been in that conversation. He's out for the season. And some other players, which we're going to talk about today, did not do themselves any favors in preseason, despite a huge opportunity to step up and take one of those offensive line spots and make it theirs. It just didn't happen. Green Bay had to go out and find a solution to their depth problem on the offensive line. So they go out, they trade a 2027 sixth round pick. Just note the year. It's not a sixth round pick this upcoming draft, but it'll be the following year, a sixth round pick in 2027 for right guard / right tackle Darian Kennard from the Philadelphia Eagles. I went out, watched his preseason tape, every snap that he took in preseason, and I will tell you pretty easily, he is immediately better than anyone that's not in their top 7. And you could probably start getting into a little bit of a debate as to whether or not he might be number 7. Nowhere near as talented as Anthony Belton, okay? Let's put that to the side right away. But his ability to kind of manage everything, he's been a veteran in this league. I don't think you're going to see some of those, you know, just false starts and errors that we've kind of been seeing over Belton. And just a little bit more refined in his technique than where Belton is at right now. I would probably still put Belton in over Kennard, but it's an interesting conversation if nothing else. But at worst, he is the 8th best offensive lineman in Green Bay immediately. Better than Jacob Monk, better than Travis Glover, even if he was healthy, better than Kadeem Telford, Donovan Jennings, or anyone else that you want to put in that conversation. Remember, they last year traded a 7th round pick for Malik Willis right at the deadline, or the, you know, roster cut down deadline. And it worked out beautifully. It gave them a really good backup quarterback. And their pro personnel department, when they find these players, whether it's a Rasul Douglas off a practice squad, a Bo Melton off a practice squad, an Allen Lazard off a practice squad. I mean, we've seen a variety of these type of moves, trading a seventh round pick for Malik Willis. They have an extremely high success rate. And I really liked what I saw on tape from Kennard. Pass pro is a little bit shaky. I do think it's shakier at right tackle. I think he's a right guard. I think that to me is what he's meant to play. He's 6'5", 322, and he fits that spot incredibly well. It's a little bit more shaky at right tackle. They don't need him at right tackle. They've got Zach Tom. They've got Rashid Walker. Jordan Morgan can be a swing tackle. Anthony Belton can be a swing tackle. They don't need him to be right tackle. This is a left guard, right guard signing, in my opinion, for Green Bay. And I think primarily be a right guard. And then if you're, you know, if Aaron Banks couldn't go and Morgan couldn't go and you needed somebody at left, then you put Sean Ryan at left guard. And I think you put Kennard at right guard if it would get to that point. I think that's where his home is. And when he's there, I think he's a little bit better in pass pro inside, and his run blocking is good enough. Like, he's a good enough NFL starting caliber run blocker right now. And he fits Green Bay's offense seamlessly. He's a good mover for his size. He can get from point A to point B. He seals really well. You can, again, pull him. You can do a variety of different things. He gets to the second level. I liked what I saw. Is he somebody that you want starting 17 games for you right now? No, probably not. But I do think that he is more than capable of being an eighth offensive lineman. And that's exactly what Green Bay was looking for. If it comes to pass where you need him this season for 2-3 games as a, you know, like sub right guard that, you know, gets you through a few of those games, I think he can do that. Sincerely. I don't think, again, you may not want more than that, but that's all you're asking. But once you get down to your eighth guy, can you get through a few games without it being catastrophic? And with Kennard, that answer should be unequivocally yes. And that to me is an exciting enough move to give up a future sixth round pick who also has 1 year left of team control next year as a restricted free agent. That's not nothing. If you would go out and perform well, you still have his rights next year that you can put a tender on him to keep him in Green Bay. So this move makes all the sense in the world. And you might say, like, hey, a sixth round pick, doesn't that seem kind of steep? You couldn't get anything for Jair Alexander, but you're giving up a sixth round pick for Darian Kennard. Just remember, contract value and youth matter a lot, not to mention positional value. I actually tweeted it out probably about an hour maybe before they traded for Kennard. The Eagles made a seventh round draft pick trade for another offensive tackle that used to be a former Philadelphia Eagle. And I tweeted out, quote tweeted, and said, I wonder if Green Bay could do something similar where they trade like a seventh round pick to bring back Yash Nyman, similarly as how Philadelphia brought back a, or gave a seventh round pick to bring back a former offensive tackle that they had. Nyman is not great. It's not unbelievable. He's making like $4 million this year. It's not, but at this point in time, on the offensive line, good luck shopping. It is a seller's market, and it is very difficult to find anywhere near quality offensive linemen at this point in time. So to me, to get a player like this that can be a legitimate backup, be an active player on game day, be your eighth offensive lineman. There's always going to be eight active on game days. To me, that has more than enough value for not a 2026 sixth round pick, but a 2027. And sort of the math on this, by the way, is a pick 2 years down the road is worth one round less than what it would be this year. So for example, a 2026 seventh round pick is worth about a 2027 sixth round pick, right? So it's basically the value of an upcoming seventh round pick is what you're giving up here. That's it. It's really not that huge of a thing. They keep all of their draft picks for next year. And in the meantime, you get a much needed depth piece. I talked about it the other day at the post game show. One of the things that has been on my mind that's been just kind of eating at me is I was very, 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 or at least getting concerned in a more significant way about the depth of the offensive line. You can't go in with only seven guys that can play. We would have got to the point in that situation in some, I don't need to name the names. I've named them before on numerous occasions where you get one of these guys in there and it's just a turnstile and you're just screwed, for lack of a better term, because they can't go out there and protect one-on-one, and you have to change your offense with some of those guys out there. If you got past your seven guys before this trade, you are in complete panic mode, and you're going to have to change your offense because you're not going to be able to protect well enough. To me, Kennard gives you that eighth guy where, again, it's probably not going to be picture perfect, but it's passable. And that's all you can ask for an eighth offensive line. And to give up a future sixth for that, I think more than worth it. Just again, he's a former fifth round pick, Kansas City Chiefs in 2022, had 71 regular season snaps last year, had a 61.3 PFF grade, 60s average. That's all you're asking for here. If he has to play 100 snaps, can he give you an average-ish grade? Worth it. Absolutely worth it. Had a 64.3 run block grade, a 52.4 pass block grade. Had 101 preseason snaps so far this year, 62.9 grade, 67.8 in run blocking, 47.5 in pass pro. But again, I think he's a little bit better in pass pro when you get him inside to guard. And as I mentioned, I think he's a better right guard than he would be a right tackle. Packers needed the depth. It was a must-need move, and they go out and address it. Now, whether or not, again, he can show that he is worthwhile, and you know, hopefully we don't need to see him this year. Hopefully we don't see a single snap from Darian Kennard, but if we do, hopefully he can hold his own and show that he was more than worth that sixth round pick. I think the next question then becomes, what does that trade mean for this team? Because there's a couple different ways your mind can go when you see them trade. The worst case scenario is, what if things on the injury front are worse than they seem? Elgton Jenkins left practice against Seattle, did not return, did not play against Seattle in the preseason game. Aaron Banks, just for the third time, has missed practice, third different period of time, has missed practice with a back issue and did not practice all last week, did not play in the preseason game. Jacob Monk, right? He is dealing with a hamstring injury. We don't know when he's going to be back. Travis Glover is already out for the year, and John Williams does not look like he is going to play anytime in the near future. And my guess is this is just going to ultimately be a redshirt year for him. If all of us, and the specific ones here are Jenkins and Banks, if they're out for any significant period of time, and I'm not saying that they are, we have no idea what the timeline is for Banks and Jenkins, but that would change the calculus up unbelievably on the offensive line. You've got, you know, all of a sudden, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Jordan Morgan left guard, Sean Ryan at center, Anthony Belton right tackles, or right guard, Zach Tom right tackle. And then you have no depth behind that. Now Kennard is your next guy up. And even if that's for a game, even if that's against Detroit, that changes things quite a bit. And if that's the case, if they would actually need a right guard in that scenario, Kennard might start over Anthony Belton because Belton hasn't even tried guard yet. Are you going to move Zach Tom inside? Probably not. So Kennard might be your starting right guard if Banks and Jenkins couldn't go week one. I don't want to jump ahead. We have no sign at this point in time that those two players are going to be out. And if you're missing one of those players, you're probably more than fine. But that would be the worst case scenario of like, hey, they had to go shopping. Like they've got the injuries starting to pile up there, and they just don't have the bodies right now to go out and compete if they would have anyone get hurt. And again, Kennard could even be starting in that scenario. So that would be the worst case scenario. The best case is that they just saw that Jennings and Monk and Telford and those guys did not step up. Travis Glover went out for the year. John Williams never got off the ground, and they just needed an eighth offensive lineman. I think my hope is that's what it is. I think that's what it is. They just recognized the depth wasn't there. A couple of those guys they were hoping to step up didn't step up. And so they course corrected, which is what a good GM does. That's the hopeful side. The other thing that I will say is they are seemingly getting much more of a type along the offensive line. This is another 6'5", 322 guy. The real only other type of player that they've drafted on the offensive line that isn't a big guy is Jacob Monk, 6'3", 308. Everyone else that they've acquired with any real significant, you know, either investment via free agency, the draft, or with a signing bonus in undrafted free agent, Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325, John Williams, 6'4", 322, Donovan Jennings, 6'4", 323, Anthony Belton, 6'6", 336, Travis Glover is listed at 6'6", 317. I guarantee you that guy's bigger than 317. Darian Kennard, 6'5", 322. The only kind of other one that's on the opposite side is Jordan Morgan at 6'5", 311. I think he's actually put on a little bit of weight since that. I bet he's at least at 315. And even then, he's 6'5", 315. We're not talking about a smaller, like 6'4", 300 guy there for Morgan. He's still big-ish, but the other guys all much more on the big side. And that seems to be the direction that they are heading in more and more and more as they acquire more offensive linemen. And he certainly fits that mold, again, being Darian Kennard. So your new offensive lineman, Darian Kennard, liked the move, no issue giving up the sixth round pick, and they desperately needed depth. They went out, they got it, and it made all the sense in the world. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, which is going to be which players helped themselves and which players hurt themselves this past preseason and training camp to help them gain a 53-man spot, help them lose a 53-man spot, or just kind of help them up the depth chart or with future plans of their specific position, et cetera. So 10 players who helped themselves, 10 players who hurt themselves. These are in no particular order. Let's go over the good news first. 10 players who helped themselves. Number one, and again, not in particular order here. This one could be, though. Tyron Hopper. Tyron Hopper came into the season in a very interesting spot. Quay Walker is the unquestioned starter. Edrian Cooper is the unquestioned starter. Isaiah McDuffie just got a brand new deal to pretty much seemingly kind of lock him in that number three spot. They go out and get Isaiah Simmons on a flyer. They bring back Christian Welch. And Tyron Hopper, at best, kind of was probably looking at the number four linebacker spot. And even at times in camp, Simmons was out there ahead of him, and he probably looked like he was the number five. Even more so, as you look kind of long-term, Cooper's not going anywhere. Goody has said on numerous occasions that they want to get a deal done for Quay Walker. Isaiah McDuffie's already on an extension. If you're looking to try to break into the starting line, if Quay gets that deal, Hopper's just probably in no man's land for a while. Probably just trying and hoping that he can get to that number three linebacker role, a spot that doesn't even play that many snaps to begin with. And he was probably looking, if he took no step whatsoever, at just a special teams guy. And that's it, and that's all, and there's probably nothing more to it. Instead, he goes out, has a wonderful training camp, has a beautiful preseason, and absolutely should be in consideration for that number three linebacker spot, however many snaps that they get. That should be a real competition between him and Isaiah McDuffie for the rest of the season. And if it's me, I'm probably going Hopper. McDuffie might be better right now. Might be. And that's might be. Even if he is, Hopper's going to get to that point and better the more snaps and reps that he gets. So let's get those reps out of the way. Even if it's slightly worse than McDuffie right now, I'm willing to take the short side or short-term downside to get to the long-term upside with Tyron Hopper. And more importantly for Hopper, I don't know how they feel about him. We're about to find out. If he still can't get on the field and he's just a special teams guy, then maybe some of the preseason and training camp stuff was fool's gold and they still don't trust it. But if we start seeing more opportunity for him and getting more involved and he plays well and he like looks good when he gets on the field in regular season, that has to change what they potentially look at with a contract extension for Quay Walker. It has to. If you can save $15 million or whatever it ends up being per year for Quay, and you just have it at home already in Tyron Hopper on a much cheaper deal, that absolutely changes the thinking. You might think, hey, we can go in with Hopper and Cooper next year as our starters. McDuffie can be the three. We'll probably spend like a third or fourth round pick on another linebacker to get us a little bit more depth there, sign another veteran like an Eric Wilson, Christian Welch, Isaiah Simmons, and we feel really good about our linebacker core. That changes things a lot for the Packers if they can believe that. And now Hopper has a real chance to maybe work his way into a starting role as soon as next year. If he doesn't have that year or like this training camp and preseason, if he just looks he might just be stuck in no man's land for his entire time in Green Bay. So he changed that up quite a bit by going out and having a really impressive preseason and training camp. And like I said, should absolutely be in that conversation and should probably win that number three linebacker spot. The second one is Chris Brooks. Listen, as I record this today on very, very, very early on Monday morning, I have no idea still. I can't look you in the eye and say it's 100% lead pipe lock that Chris Brooks is on this team. I would be very surprised, though, if he ends up getting released. And I still think he's done everything that he could have possibly done to earn himself that spot. He looks really good in pass pro. He looks good, and I think even a little bit more dynamic as a runner. He's still catching the ball of the backfield well. He was second up after Josh Jacobs in the pecking order in this last preseason game. He's done everything asked of him and really solidified what I think is a very specific role on this team, is kind of the third down back, the blitz pickup guy. Again, can catch the ball to the backfield. He fits that role perfectly. Every team needs a player like Chris Brooks. Green Bay found theirs, and I think he did enough to just about lead pipe lock him in. I can't quite get there, but like I said, I would be very stunned if he's not on this team. Number three is John Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick was a late kind of signing of all their unrestricted free agents. They were probably haggling over the bonus money. He ends up getting a little bit of a signing bonus once he signed and pretty much immediately got inserted to that number three tight end role and just never looked back. I mean, Ben Sims has not been close to him in all of training camp, in all of preseason. He's made multiple catches, looks good as a blocker, at least solid, and enters this year, or at least cut down time, as to me, the unquestioned number three tight end. For somebody that was by no means a lock to make the roster, to now being what seems like, again, very much the unquestioned guy at the number three spot, that's a pretty big jump, and he has earned it. And I thought you may not have seen a ton of it in preseason, but in camp, he's looked really, really good to a point where up until Musgrave had this really big, you know, end of, you know, training camp push, I was kind of wondering, I kind of wonder if Fitzpatrick starts getting even some looks as the number two tight end. And then, you know, Musgrave's been awesome as of late, but that's how good Fitzpatrick has looked. And I think they've really found their number three tight end for now, and probably even maybe, well, next year he's an unrestricted free agent, so we'll see. But it was a really nice signing for Green Bay, and he's looked really good in camp and preseason. Number four is Jordan Morgan. For all the angst and anxiety over, oh, they shouldn't have taken Jordan Morgan in the first round, like, he's looked really good. He looks like a legitimate starting offensive lineman. He has to show it in the regular season. It's one thing to do it in preseason. It's another to do it when the lights are on and going against Detroit in week one if he ends up being out there. But the early return signs of what he's taken that step of in year two looks really, really promising. And he looks like he can be a starter for Green Bay for the foreseeable future. That is a huge step for this team. And imagine if he wasn't, by the way, where Green Bay would be at from a depth standpoint. If he just looked bad, it would be a huge problem. And instead, he looks like a legitimate starter and might start over Rashid Walker and just take that left tackle job. Kudos to him for coming out, owning it, playing extremely well. The versatility is showing up. The footwork and movement skills are showing up. He's added some strength, worked on his technique, and looks so much better than he did even at any point a year ago, even pre some of the injury stuff. Number five is Matthew Golden. He's immediately in the conversation for being one of the main weapons on this team, even with, you know, or I should say without Reed and Wicks and those guys being unhealthy. If everyone was healthy, I think Matthew Golden's still getting the same looks. He's going to have a major role in this offense. Yes, you spent a first round pick on him, and some of that is expected, but he's come in, owned it right away, played numerous wide receiver spots, has come up with multiple big catches. We saw the big play in preseason this week. He's been as advertised. He's going to have a massive role. And I think he is really, it's not due to him being a first round pick. It's because he's come in and immediately earned it. And that's really exciting, because you don't want your first round pick to get it by default. You want him to go out there and show that he was everything that you expected him to be when you took him in the first round. He's done that, and now is hopefully primed for a really big impact early on in his NFL career. Number six is Brenton Cox. Just continued to make plays all preseason long. I thought he had his best game in this final preseason game. He's in a tough spot always because he does not do anything for you on special teams, and he's not a starter. And that's always a difficult spot to be in, because if you're not a starter and you're not playing teams, where are you going to help out? Now, thankfully, he's in a role at defensive end that gets a lot of rotational snaps, so Cox will see playing time there. But to me, he very much solidified his spot on this team. He looked good. He looks like a legitimate rotational defensive end in the NFL, with maybe even a little bit upside more than that. I don't know how you could cut him at this point. I think he was by far and away good enough to earn that roster spot and had a better camp than he has in his career so far, hopefully showing that he's ready to take a step and be even more impactful. He had a really nice end of the season last year that kind of went a little bit under the radar, and it seems like he's picking up right where he left off. Number seven is Kingsley Enagbare. I hypothesized all offseason of saying, hey, he's set to make $3 million because of the incentive bonus that he reached for playing time. That changes things, where you may not want to pay that for a rotational defensive end. Not to mention, I didn't think he was very good this past year. And the question would be, they go out and get Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver. If you get to the point where you've got Gary and LVN and Brenton Cox and Oliver and Sorrell, like you might have your five and don't need to pay, you know, him $3 million per year, or at least for this year. So I thought there was a real chance where if he didn't show something, he was going to be gone, probably traded, not cut, but probably gone. And now he's just unquestioned. He's the number three guy. He's the guy right up after LVN and Rashawn Gary, deservedly so. He's played really, really well. In fact, you can make an argument he was easily the MVP of the defense in preseason and is by far and away earned his spot as that number three defensive end. Again, I didn't think it was great, his performance in 2024. I'm excited to see if that was maybe due to some of the injuries he had the year before, and maybe that kind of, you know, just kind of piled up on him a little bit. And he looks so much better this year than he did at any point last year. Hopefully that carries over into the regular season. Number eight is Aaron Mosby, just the forgotten guy at defensive end. I think most people forget he was on the 53 all of last year. All of last year, they traded away Preston Smith, still Aaron Mosby on the team. Like they could have moved on from him at any time. They didn't. And now he's back. And with injuries to Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell, he looks like he might be the fifth defensive end going into the season, and he deserves it. He's played well. I thought he looked much better as a run defender, still showed a little bit of juice as a pass rusher and as a primary special teams player. For a guy that everyone wrote off, especially as soon as you go out and get Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell in the draft, you don't lose anything at the position. It's like, well, see you later, Aaron Mosby. It's been nice knowing you. I know injuries are playing a part here, but he really looks like he might be on the 53 to start the season. He might not, but I still think he did enough to earn it, show himself, and then maybe got some injury luck from some other players along the way. But he looks poised to potentially make this team. Number nine is Colby Wooden. Sometimes when you have to do something drastic to change position or change your weight or do something where it just isn't clicking. You know, he put on like 20 pounds plus of good weight, muscle, et cetera, and kind of moved it from a sort of just a three technique into more of a defensive tackle that you can use in numerous different ways. He's bigger, he's stronger. I don't think he really lost much quickness, and he looks so much better at defensive tackle so far. Again, another player that's not a lock to make the team, but I do very much think that he will. Jeff Hafley's talked about him positively on numerous occasions. They seem to really like him, and I think that transformation has really paid off for him. I don't think the last 2 years he was trending to make it on this roster for a third consecutive season, but he goes through that transformation. It works out great for him, and he looks like he can be a real solid rotational player for Green Bay this upcoming year. And then last but not least on the plus side, we have to say Bo Melton. I mean, this is just beyond incredible. Going from a player who was so far behind at wide receiver, meaning they have all these players that were possible 53-man guys, especially once Christian Watson comes back, and there just wasn't an avenue for him there. There was so much more of an avenue at corner, but you have to switch positions, a position he's never played in the NFL, didn't play in college. They switch him over, and usually that stuff is just the kiss of death, right? You're like, well, good luck, Bo Melton. That it doesn't work for anyone, but yet he made it work for him. He seems to be the fourth most likely corner to make this team. The three are locked in, and then he's the next guy up after that. Still the main gunner on special teams, and special teams is where he's still going to make his value, but he looks like a legitimate NFL corner. That is absurd. That is beyond absurd. Just out of nowhere, taking Bo Melton and saying, hey, you're a corner now, and it works, and it actually works. That it's ridiculous. And so much credit to Bo Melton for making that change, going from a clear cut candidate at wide receiver to maybe number four corner. I can't even begin to explain to you how ridiculous that is and what an unbelievable job by Bo Melton just to own it, to take that challenge on, to earn it, and now in all likelihood be on the 53 as a corner, not as a wide receiver. All right, 10 players who hurt themselves this preseason. Number one, Sean Clifford, a huge opportunity just to go out and show that he's the true number three quarterback. He might still get it. He might still end up on the practice squad, but did not give you any confidence that that would be won by merit or that he went out and had this huge preseason. It looked like the same exact Sean Clifford, and probably time to maybe try something a little bit different, whether that's Elgersma or a different quarterback. A lost opportunity, I would say, for Sean Clifford. Number two is Malik Heath. Malik Heath is probably trending to make this roster right now. He's a borderline player, but he did himself no favors. Lots of drops, couldn't get open quite as well. And despite having so many opportunities because of Wicks being out and Reed being out and Savion Williams being out and Watson being out, this was his opportunity in year three to go and show, hey, I'm capable of being a starter in this league or being a clear fourth, fifth wide receiver. And instead, it feels like he might make it by default because of some of the injuries that are kind of plaguing this team right now. I was hoping for more from Malik Heath. I don't think we quite got it. And I thought it was a little bit of a disappointing preseason for him. Next up is Mecole Hardman. Same thing. Had every opportunity to go out there and just clearly earn the punt returner job and the number six wide receiver job. In my opinion, he really did neither. He didn't look great as a wide receiver. There were moments, I thought, especially in OTAs and in minicamp, where he came up with some of those big catches. Once the pads come on, it didn't really translate. He was great at one-on-ones, but didn't do a ton in team activities, and then had the opportunity to earn that punt returner role, had that game where he had two terrible, terrible decisions, including a muff punt. It just did not go the way that you were hoping for with Mecole Hardman, and he seems to be maybe on the outside looking in, unless they're just desperate to keep him as a punt returner. Number four is Ben Sims. Ben Sims had a lot of opportunity over the last couple of years with Musgrave's injuries and Kraft hurt at times. He got to be the number two tight end, never really took advantage of it. Fitzpatrick came in last year. By the end of the year, Fitzpatrick was the three. Ben Sims was inactive. Sims might still make this team, but to me, he did not do enough to go out and earn a unquestioned spot on this roster. If he does make it, it's probably based on his special teams, not on his offense. And it's, again, kind of a missed opportunity for him because over the last couple of years, again, he was given those chances, just didn't do enough with it. I didn't think he did enough with it this preseason either. I would probably say go in a different direction or just keep three tight ends. He might make it based on special teams, but it'll be on special teams and not on his offensive ability right now. Number five is Messiah Swinson. Same thing with Swinson. That number three tight end spot was totally up for grabs. Swinson got on the Panthers 53-man roster last year. They claimed him off of Green Bay's practice squad and then ended up releasing him. Green Bay got him back on their practice squad. He had every right to go out and compete. He never looked remotely in the competition. It was, Fitzpatrick and then Sims a step down and then Swinson like five steps down. Just never made a name for himself and really does not look. I don't even know that I have a ton of interest in a practice squad spot at this point. So a huge, huge disappointment there where I thought he might have been somebody that could take a jump in year two and get in that conversation and instead just has not worked that way at all. Number six, actually six, seven, and eight, we're going to talk about all together. Kadeem Telford, Jacob Monk, and Donovan Jennings. Travis Glover's out and you need an eighth, a ninth, and maybe even a 10th offensive lineman. You have all the opportunity in the world. And Kadeem Telford in year three, Donovan Jennings in year two, and Jacob Monk went out there and they had really poor performances all preseason long. Then Monk got hurt as well and limited his ability to try to go out there and maybe earn a spot or at least to like show a little bit more in that third preseason game. Massively disappointing because there was so much opportunity there for them. And with Telford, you put in 2 years, right? Donovan Jennings had all last year on the practice squad. Monk is in year two. And it just didn't seem like any of those three took any positive step whatsoever, despite the numerous opportunities that they got in camp and in preseason. And that's why they had to go out and get Kennard, because none of those guys stepped up. So very disappointing there. Number nine is Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons went from a flyer free agent signing to somebody who looked like he was going to have a role based on what he did in camp to, does he even make this team? If he just goes out and has a even remotely solid defensive performance in the preseason, I should say, he's on this team unquestionably and deservedly so. But he was so bad on defense that right now you're keeping him just based on his special teams prowess if you keep him. And you really don't want him on the field other than maybe a player here that you have a specific design for him on defense. A ton of opportunity for him. Also somebody that couldn't make the most of it. And now he might be on the outside looking in. I think he makes the team, but it's a very close call and it never should have been that close based on how training camp started. But preseason was a pretty big nightmare for Simmons. And then last but not least, Rashid Walker. Rashid Walker, as we've talked about a billion times, had the opportunity to go out, earn that left tackle job, go out, be a solid starter, and get over $20 million per year like Dan Moore did. And instead, he might be in a platoon or he might not start at all. It might be just Morgan starting at left tackle. And if that's the case, Walker lost himself a ton of money. And yes, injuries played a part here, but also he played fine, but not to the level that I would have expected for a guy who's in a contract year and has the ability to play for 20 mil per year on a 4-year contract. I wanted to see a little bit more from Walker. I think Morgan's been a little bit better. Still think we see a platoon there, but if Walker does get benched, a huge, huge hit potentially to his bank account. 10 people who helped themselves: Tyron Hopper, Chris Brooks, John Fitzpatrick, Jordan Morgan, Matthew Golden, Brenton Cox, Kingsley Enagbare, Aaron Mosby, Colby Wooden, and Bo Melton. 10 who hurt themselves: Sean Clifford, Malik Keith, Mecole Hardman, Ben Sims, Messiah Swinson, Kadeem Telfort, Jacob Monk, Donovan Jennings, Isaiah Simmons, and Rashid Walker. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, and John D. Metropolis. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.